You're listening to 88.5 KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. Fans are remembering the life today of musician Chris Cornell. He died last night at age 52. Cornell gained fame in Seattle's grunge scene as the lead singer of Soundgarden, Temple of the Dog, and Audioslave. Cornell was touring with Soundgarden and had played a show last night in Detroit. The Wayne County Medical Examiner determined his cause of death to be a suicide. A full autopsy has yet to be completed. The impact of Cornell's music went far beyond Seattle, but it was here that he got his start. Music journalist Charles R. Cross knew Cornell very well and joins me now. Charles, what made Chris Cornell's music and him so meaningful and so important to so many people?
Well, I think in the history of Seattle grunge, Soundgarden were actually the first band to sign with a major label. They were the first band of the grunge era bands to really become popular locally. And they didn't break, however, until the last band. Soundgarden began about 1985, started playing around Belltown. I saw some of their very early shows. I used to edit a magazine in Seattle called The Rocket, and we put Soundgarden on the cover more than any other band in our history.
What was it that grabbed your attention? I mean, what was it that made you say, let's put them on the cover again and again? You know, why are they so good? You know?
Well, there were a couple reasons the band were good. I mean, by the 90s, they were writing great songs, but what initially drew people to Soundgarden was simply Chris. He was an unbelievably dynamic frontman in a live performance. Incredibly good looking, great giant mane of hair, usually performed with his shirt off. They were a monstrously great live band.
As journalists, you have repeated interaction with people, especially if you cover a specific beat. How much interaction did you have with Chris Cornell, and how well did you get to know him?
A lot. I knew him better than any of the frontmen of any of the Seattle bands. Chris was one of the best liked Seattle musicians. You know, it's just a devastating loss for everybody that knew him and loved him.
We see people in the public eye, but you got a chance to talk to him. And as someone who got to do that, I assume you saw him, you know? So what are some of the memories you have that speak to him as a human being, maybe behind the veneer of being an artist?
Well, I think there are two answers to that. Clearly, there's darkness here. This man took his own life. Part of the story is drugs and addiction. Chris had had a lot of losses around him before. So this was a guy who knew darkness. No one can know another person's skin. But I do think that journalists covering the story of his life need to make sure they tell people that there are resources that people can reach out to. As for Chris himself, I guess if I were speaking to what's part of his personality that most people would not have been aware of, he had a very, very deep and rich, sarcastic sense of humor. My favorite story about Chris and my own personal interactions was I grew a soul patch for a day to piss off the girlfriend I had at the time. And I went out of my house to go to the Seattle Home Show at the Kingdome wearing the soul patch just to make her mad. I walked into the home show and within 10 seconds ran into Chris Cornell, who essentially invented the soul patch as a fashion statement. And then he's looking at me, the editor of The Rocket, and now I've grown a soul patch. I think at that point, Chris thought the world had ended. But, you know, Chris was as Seattle can be.
That was Seattle-based music journalist Charles R. Cross reflecting on the life of Chris Cornell. We want to add here that if you or someone you know needs to reach out for help, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available. The number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK.